This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
Morning. Hey, okay, wow. Come on now. Come on, clap like, come on. Don't make me work too hard this morning, okay? How's everyone doing? You good? Okay, cool. Well, here's the deal. So we're starting a new series today. It's called Unexpected. And, you know, because sometimes our life does take us to the most unexpected places and things like that, doesn't it? I mean, our lives sometimes take these crazy twists and turns. And, my life sort of took an interesting and very unexpected turn this past week. And ended up somewhere that those of you who know me would never imagine in a million years Scott Hodge would be. And so I took my little camera along, and I thought I would share my experience with you. Do you want to see this? Are you sure? Okay, brace yourselves. Watch this.
So I woke up today at 3:30 in the morning to get on an airplane to come to South Florida. And, we are here in the Everglades, and we're about to get on this boat. What is this called?
This is an airboat.
Airboat. We're going to get on an airboat, the way they say it down here, airboat. Airboat. And we're going to go out here where there are alligators or crocodiles. What are they?
Pretty sure they're alligators.
Alligators. And
crocodiles live in the Nile.
We're not in the Nile, I'll tell you that. Pythons and bear, grizzly bears and all kinds of things out here. So we're going to go
probably not bears either,
get on this thing, okay. And we're going to go.
There are bears.
There are bears.
There's grizzlies, right?
No, there really are bears.
Black bears. Black bears.
See, here's the thing that really got me was on the way here towards the very end of the, when we were pretty much as far away from the airport as we could be, they pulled out the waivers, the forms to fill out. So, yeah, God bless their hearts. To the cabin. We're literally in the middle of nowhere. We are on a swamp buggy, which is like a glorified, like, when I say glorified, I mean a glorified, what do they call these, ATVs?
This ain't nothing we ever seen before.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
This machine was in Terminator Salvation.
We are,
whoa.
We gotta get a shot of the tires. Can you get a shot of the tires? Crazy. Those tires are bigger than all my children combined. All right, so they're getting the guns out. No idea why. Casey just said something really frightening, though. Casey said, man. He said, what if they just killed us? That's what the waivers were all about.
We don't really like churches.
Look, they've got guns.
We've got flip cams.
Boy, we're going to defend ourselves, aren't we?
Hey. Point the barrel that way.
Take your finger out of there.
That's sexy.
Pock it all the way back. Let it go.
Pull.
Got it.
called alligator food, okay? It's not Alpo. No, this is the real deal, okay? So I'm going to catch me an alligator right now, all right?
Here's a big one, Scott.
Here we go. This is for my kids right here and for the orchard. Julia, Elise, Alexander. Here we go. Come on, baby. Come on. He was too little. I wasn't interested in him.
Here he comes. Scott Hodge. He's got an alligator on.
So what did you do this past week? It's kind of weird. Ever since I got back, all I want to do is watch NASCAR and drink cheap beer. You know, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Oh man. So, but you know, it's funny because I think my life definitely took me to a very unexpected place last week. And chances are your life has done the same. I was sitting next to a guy on an airplane a while back who had recently, or actually I say recently, but a few years ago, did some contract work in Saudi Arabia, and while he was on this trip, he was driving down the road, and he saw this really cool-looking building, decided he would take a picture of it, so he got his camera out, snapped a photo, and within minutes found himself arrested and in jail, in the middle of Saudi Arabia. Turned out that the cool building that he took a photo of was actually a government building. And of course, he ended up in a place that he would least expect to be, and that's in a Saudi prison. A couple weeks ago, in fact, Thanksgiving Day, to be exact, an acquaintance of mine, a pastor who's down in Texas, a guy by the name of Matt Chandler, was at home with his family. And on Thanksgiving morning, he wasn't feeling well. He stood up, started walking across the living room, and passed out. And when he passed out, he bit his tongue, hit his head, and ended up going to the ER where they found a mass in his right frontal lobe. And 2 days ago, he had a large part of that removed. You know, sometimes our lives take us to the most unexpected places, don't they? And that's true for all of us, isn't it? I mean, we all experience that in our journey of life. Sometimes those places and those unexpected moments might be good. You know, wrestling an alligator in the middle of the Everglades. Some would consider that bad, but I thought it was great. Or on the other hand, sometimes it's not so good or might not seem so good, you know. Getting news you're going to lose your job, for example. I mean, all of our lives are filled with these unexpected moments. And of course, it's seen in so many aspects of our lives. I mean, it's seen in our relationships, isn't it? I mean, relationships are where it's at the most, I think, because people are so unpredictable. So we see this in our relationships. We see it in our parenting. We see it in our careers. We see it in our spiritual journeys. We see it in our health. And you know, the thing is, it's funny because we all have these expectations of what life should look like. We have expectations of what our parenting should look like. You know, we always imagine, you know, one day when I'm a parent, I'll look like this, or I'll be this kind of parent, or we have, you know, these visions in our minds of what kind of employee we're going to be. Or where we're going to be at socially, or whatever it might be. And a lot of times what happens is we come to a place where we realize that there's this gap between the person that we always imagined ourselves being, or the parent we've imagined ourselves being, or whatever it might be, and who we actually are. You know, I can tell you that honestly, myself, my wife and I, you know, we've had all kinds of ideas over the years of what we'd look like as parents, and we've been parents now for about 10 years. We have three kids. There they are right there. Cute, aren't they? Thankfully, they take after mom the most. But no, they have. So we have a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And I'll tell you, you know, on one hand, we can certainly attest to the fact that our kids and just the whole journey of parenting has been an amazing blessing to us beyond anything we would have imagined. And yet, on the other hand, I think it's safe to say that it's also been a real challenge for us. It's been a real challenge. I mean, especially now that we're outnumbered, okay, a real challenge. But you know, I mean, our lives are crazy. Our lives are hectic. Our lives are stressful at times. You know, it's hard to even keep our house clean with three kids that run around. And I mean, can you relate? Many of you who are parents, right? You understand. And I got to say, like, it's really been not quite what we ever really imagined. And we see this in our lives, don't we? I mean, our lives do take these unexpected twists and turns. And if you think about this, too, like here we are entering into the Advent season. I think Advent could be called, actually, the season of unexpectancy, right? I mean, if you think about all the unexpected things that happen during the Christmas season, when you read the story in the Bible, I mean, think about this. Shepherds in a field, okay? And an angel shows up and says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." I promise you that that caught them off guard a little bit, okay? You know, that was an unexpected moment. And of course, a Savior who shows up in ways that no one would expect him to show up, right? I mean, this is a king? Are you kidding me? Right? I mean, born in a manger? I mean, and then he goes on to live this life that just exceeds everybody's expectations. And you see this throughout the scriptures. You see these suddenly moments. In fact, I did a search this week on the word suddenly in the Bible, and it's used over 40 times. And I think there's a reason for that, because it seems like God constantly works in the most unexpected ways, doesn't he? He works in the most unexpected times, and he uses us in the most unexpected ways imaginable. And of course, part of the story of Advent that I think may have been the most unexpected was the story when the angel Gabriel shows up and just lands this news on Mary that she is going to be the mother of the Son of God. In fact, if you have your Bibles, I want to go there this morning to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and I want to read this account of Mary, and it's an account that probably we've all read several times, but I want to read it again. Luke chapter 1, verse 20. If you don't have your Bible, that's all right. We'll put it on the screen here. But it says this: "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Verse 29, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." I mean, I would say that if it were you and I, we would also be very troubled in that moment, wouldn't we? I mean, I think like if this was the Scott Hodge translation of the Bible, it would say something like Mary freaked. She freaked, okay? And so anyway, it says she was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Oh, okay, no problem. I have like a 19-foot angel standing in my bedroom right now. But I won't be afraid. Okay, anyway, no, "do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And he says in verse 31, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And of course, Mary at that point, just kind of her brain goes tilt, and she's like, okay, how is this going to happen? Okay, and in verse 34, she says, "How will this be?" Mary asks the angel, "since I'm a virgin." All right, tell me, how is this going to happen? And in verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And Mary said, "Oh, okay, I don't know why I didn't think of that. That makes total sense." No, Mary didn't say that. But the angel says, "So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, Mary does respond, and she responds with these words in verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Now, most of us, we've read the story many, many times, haven't we? We've read it, we've heard it, maybe even too many times. You know what I mean? To where it's become so familiar to us that it's almost become like this tale that we read about at Christmas time that gives us warm fuzzies. And so we become very comfortable with it, very familiar with it. But when you really stop and think about what occurred at that moment, what you realize is that this is a story about an ordinary woman whose life is suddenly and unexpectedly interrupted by this extraordinary calling of God. I mean, just imagine this for a second. I mean, imagine, you know, this young Jewish teenage girl who's from this obscure village called Nazareth, and this angel shows up and says, "You're going to give birth to a son, but not just any son, okay? This son is going to be the son of the Most High, the Davidic King of Israel, the long-awaited Messiah," and he tells her that this miracle is going to go down in her womb. I mean, sure, Mary had to have been surprised by that. But I think that perhaps the biggest surprise was the fact that she actually embraced it. I mean, just think about this. She says these words, "May it be." Say that with me, would you? May it be. Turn to the person next to you and say, "May it be." Some of you are afraid to say that. You're like, "What? Does that mean I'm going to end up pregnant?" Okay. I saw some of you really nervous. But I mean, these were significant words for Mary. In fact, those, here's what I think. I think those were the words that really set the tone for all that God did through and in Mary's life. Because see, however joyous this moment would have been for her, and there had to be an element of joy here, obviously, but however joyous this day may have been for her, when Mary heard these words whispered to her by Gabriel, do you realize that the very inner seams of her life were ripped apart in that moment? Because see, don't forget, in the life of a first century Jewish teenage girl, who scholars say that she was somewhere between the ages of 13 and 16 years old, all right, if you were pregnant as a teenager, you understand there's real challenges with that, aren't there? But imagine in Mary's time, it was even worse. I mean, she's 13 to 16 years of age. She just received the news that she's going to conceive out of wedlock, which means that her integrity would be called into question. It means that her morality would be scrutinized by everyone around her. And it means that she's going to be labeled as an adulteress. That's right, because any sexual activity outside of her relationship with Joseph would have been considered adultery. And at that time, the Torah said that if you commit adultery, you will be put to death by stoning. And so you know that Mary knew the Torah. She knew the culture at that time. She lived in it. And so in her mind, as the angel's telling her this, she's calculating. She's thinking to herself, "I know what this means." And yet she looks at this angel and she says to this angel, "May it be." So when she said that, you got to believe this was a really, really big deal. A huge deal. And see, I think it's important we remember that, because I don't know about you, I've done this. We romanticize the story, don't we? I mean, we read the story and we forget about what's really behind it. We forget what actually happened. But see, when you remember and when you understand the story, you can't get away from the reality that Mary knew full well what she was embracing when she said those three words, "May it be." See, that's why there's so much power in her response. I mean, this was a moment of courageous faith in Mary's life. It was a moment that set the tone for everything that would occur in her life from that point on. The question is, how the heck did she do it? How did she do it? I mean, how does a young teenage girl who has everything working against her embrace this call of God in her life? How does she do it? I mean, how was it that she was able to say those words, "May it be"? Well, if we keep reading in Luke chapter 1, I think it gives us somewhat of a hint, because not only does Mary embrace this call by saying, "May it be," but she actually goes on to sing a song. She writes a song about it. And if you're familiar with this, you might remember that the song is known as Magnificat. Magnificat, which we call it that because it's the first line of that song in the Latin is Magnificat anima mea dominum, which is my soul magnifies the Lord. And it's this amazing song that carries more weight than any of us can imagine. Here it is. Let's look at it. Luke 1, verse 46, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Now listen, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. So she's singing this. I won't sing it. Okay, I'll save you that. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry. Verse 54, he's helped his servant Israel. And it goes on to say, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Now, we don't have time to get into why this song is so powerful, but here's what you need to know. This song was not just a song that she sang because God was giving her a son. Okay, Mary is declaring that God has chosen to bring the king of the earth to this planet through her womb. Okay, and she understood that these words that Gabriel spoke to her, these were the fulfillment of a promise that was given to David generations before this moment. And so this is a song that's declaring that justice has finally arrived. Because at this time, I mean, this is a world where injustice reigned and the rich ruled and the powers that be were going to finally be subverted. It was the kind of song, someone said this once, it was great. They said it's the kind of song that had the local peasants heard this song sung, they would have shouted in response, "Hallelujah, amen." Because Herod's day of taxing Israel, flaunting his powers and his laws and all the injustice, his days were numbered. And so this was a song. I love this quote. Scott McKnight wrote a book called The Real Mary, and he said this, I thought this was great. He said, "Some think of her as tender. We might instead think of her as tenacious. Some think of her song as a splendid piece of spirituality that could be tucked away in a pew hymnal. But her song belongs instead on the shelf with socio-spiritual songs of protest against unjust rulers." If you keep reading in Luke, in fact, verse 48, we read this a second ago, I think you can understand why she said these words, "May it be." In verse 48, she says these words. Look at this. Now really get this. This is important. Luke chapter 1, 48. She says this in the song as she sings it. She says, "For he," in fact, let's read it together. Can we put that back up, verse 48? We have it? Okay, let's read it. "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Do you know why Mary could utter those words, "May it be"? I think it's because she knew her God. Yeah, she knew her God. See, I think it's almost easy for us to miss the fact that God was omnipresent in this song. God's presence is found everywhere in this song. You see it over and over again. I mean, think about the words. "He has been mindful of me. The mighty one has done great things," unlike Herod. "He has performed mighty deeds. He has scattered those. He has brought down rulers," like he will Herod. "He has filled the hungry," unlike Herod. "He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel," unlike Herod, "who has imprisoned us and enslaved us." He's everywhere. See, here's what I think. I think God was omnipresent in Mary's song because she believed that God was omnipresent in her life. You think about that. God is omnipresent in Mary's song because she believed that God was omnipresent in her life. How about you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is omnipresent in your life? And here's what I love about this song. Did you notice Mary says everything in past tense here? She says it as though it's already occurred. Isn't that awesome? It's like Scott McKnight, one more quote. He says the conception was just a few days behind her, but her conviction was that God's promise was as good as done. So she's saying all these declarations in her song as though it's already occurred. See, here's the thing. Mary knew God. She knew from the pages of her people's history that God is faithful and that God would be with her and that God would be merciful to her and that God would look out for her. And it was this faith and it was this trust in God that would equip her and give her what was needed and allowed her to say those three words, "May it be." So how about you? Just think about your life for a second. Is God omnipresent in your life? How easily do those words come out of your mouth to God? May it be. What, God, you want me to do what? Okay, may it be. I mean, do we have that same confidence in our God? I mean, do we live with the same kind of faith that Mary, it's not saying that you don't get freaked out. Look, Mary got freaked out. This isn't about not getting freaked out, but this is about getting beyond freaking out and being able to finally submit to what God's calling you to do. I mean, what is your response when God calls you? What is your response when God opens doors in your life? I mean, do we have a song that we sing? Do we have a song that we sing that declares that God is omnipresent in our lives? Because remember, see, I think that God was omnipresent in Mary's song because she believed that God was omnipresent in her life. I mean, what decisions are we making right up front? I mean, Mary's decision right up front was, may it be. May it be. I'm gonna trust you, God. What decisions are you making up front in your life right now? See, God calls all of us, doesn't he? He calls us to different things, but God calls all of us. Those of you who are listening online right now, God calls you. God is calling you. He's opening doors for you. The question is, what do you do when those doors open? What do you do when God begins to call you? Whatever it might be. And I know there are probably some of us here today who are at a place in our lives where God's been opening doors or he's been drawing us to take steps of faith in our lives, and we've been wondering, we've been even worried as to whether or not we'll really have what it takes to be who God's called me to be. And maybe it's because of your background. Maybe it's because of baggage that you've carried into your life. Maybe it's because of pain in your life. Maybe it's for some of you, I mean, today's parent-child dedication. Maybe some of you are just freaked out by the idea of being a parent. Because you look at your background and you look at how you were raised and you're afraid. And all the qualities that you despise, you're worried those qualities might show back up in your life now. You're afraid. Maybe some of you, you're a single parent, single mom, a single dad. Maybe you're in a blended family situation, and that is so new to you. You just have no idea how this could work, or divorced, or maybe you're widowed, and you just don't know how you're going to do it. Maybe you're a new grandparent. Maybe this is a new career. You're entering a new career or a new season in your life. Or maybe as a student, you're getting ready to take some steps in your life to go to a new school, or it's a new relationship or a new career, whatever it might be. And you're wondering, do I have what it takes? Because Scott, see, I know my failures, all right? I know my insecurities. I know where my abilities are and where they're not. Scott, I have sin issues in my life. See, I wonder what would happen if just like Mary, we were to make a decision right up front, that we are going to commit our hearts to whatever it is that God has given us. And that we would not just embrace it, but that we would embrace it with everything that's within us. I mean, what if you left here today singing a new song? Maybe your song coming in, maybe you were singing the blues. Right? Or worse yet, maybe you're singing country music. I'm just kidding. By the way, you know what you get when you play a country song backwards? Did I already use this one? I did. You guys are like, yeah, we know it. You get your dog back, your house back, your wife back, your Chevy pickup back. Anyway, so I think it's funny every time. Some of you don't. Some of you are being Jesus. Just shut him up, Lord. Hey, Scott, why don't you go back and play with the alligators? Anyway, but I wonder what would happen if we made a decision today. What if we could walk out of here singing a new song? Maybe you came in here singing a song that declares failure in your life or declares fear or declares whatever it might be. And maybe today you could leave here singing a new song, a song of faith, a song that declares the goodness and faithfulness of God in your life. Because can I tell you something? The time to sing that song and the time to make that decision, the time to say may it be, isn't when you're in the middle of it, isn't when you're facing all of a sudden all these obstacles that pop up, or it's not when it becomes tough, or not when everyone starts criticizing you, or some might even be hoping that you just utterly fail in your life. That's not the time to make those decisions. The time to make them is right now. It's right now. The time to say, may it be, is right now. The time to sing that song of faith is right now. And today we have a handful of parents who they are going to take the step of faith in their lives, and they're going to come up here and they're going to say in front of all of us and in front of God, they're going to say, you know what, we want to say to God, may it be. And we want to sing a song to God today. We want to say to God, God, we really want to take this serious, what you've called us to do. Because these aren't our children. Ultimately, these are your children. And you're going to see some are new infants, newborns. Others might be a little bit older in their age or whatever it might be. But here's the bottom line. It's never too late to start singing the song. It's never too late to look to God and to say to him, may it be. And some of you, you might even look at your life and say, you know what, I'm older. There's no way. I've gone all these years not following God. How can I start now? Well, it's never too late. It's never too late. And so here's my hope, is that while these parents come up here and dedicate themselves, my hope is that all of us here would dedicate ourselves. And we may not all come up here and stand up here and do all that, but just even right where you're seated, what if you were to dedicate yourself today? And what if you were to accept the call that God's given you today? And what if today you just said, God, may it be? I wonder if all of us could take that step today, regardless of where you're at in your spiritual journey. What if you could just say, God, just say yes to that next step in your life? Listen, do you know why I think Mary could do this? Another reason she could do this was because she believed that her life was not her own. She believed that her life belonged to God. And you know what I think? I think Jesus saw that in her. I think Jesus loved his mom, don't you? I think Jesus loved his mom and he admired her because he saw this faith in her. I mean, if you think about Jesus, when he's 12 years old, he gets lost from his parents. They get really PO'd about it. And so they go looking for Jesus, and they show up, and Jesus says, hey, I'm in my father's house. I'm doing his business. See, he knew who he belonged to, right? And then think about this. When he's doing in his ministry, he's laying hands on people, he's healing people, he's rubbing mud in people's eyes to heal them. Crazy. Okay, he's doing all these things. And what does he say? He says, I do nothing apart from my father, nothing. And then think about this. Right before his death on the cross, what does he say? Not my will, but yours be done. Why? Because he knew he belonged to the Father. And then even as he's hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, what does he say? Into your hands, I commit my spirit. You know why he could say that? Because he knew his life was not his own, that his life belonged to the Father. See, Mary, she knew that her life didn't belong to her. It belonged to her Father. Same thing with Jesus. How about you? Do you believe that your life belongs to your Father? Do you know that your life belongs to God? And I know some of you right now, as I say these things, you're thinking, you know, because I know this is for many of us, it's not easy to imagine this because many of you didn't have a father in your life, or you had a father, but you don't admire him, or he didn't treat you well, or maybe it was just completely non-existent. So for you, when you imagine God as your father, it's a hard thing. But see, this is all the more reason to give God a chance. This is all the more reason to show God, to let God show you something that you've never experienced before. That's why the Bible says he's the father to the fatherless. He's the husband to those who have no husband. He's the wife to those who have no wife. He can fulfill roles in your life that no one else can. You don't have to understand it to accept it. You just have to receive it. And so the families are going to come up here in just a second, and as they prepare to do that, we're going to pray. And I would like you to think about your life. I'd like you to think about your life. I'd like you to think about what it is that God's calling you to do. I'd like you to think about the dreams that you have. I'd like to think you to think about the relationships in your life. And I want us to pray, and I want us to ask God to give us hearts that echo the words of Mary and even the words of Jesus and the words of us today as we say, God, may it be. Would you pray that with me and make that your prayer today? Let's bow our heads. God, today is a significant day. As these families, as these parents stand before this church community, but more importantly, stand before God to declare their trust and their faith in you. And God, for many of them, it's they're choosing right up front to echo those same words that Mary spoke to that angel Gabriel, may it be. And so, God, as much as we celebrate these dedications, as much as we celebrate these families, I also know that today isn't just about those who are taking part of the dedication. It's about all of us. It's about all of us embracing everything that you've called us to in our lives. It's about singing a new song in our hearts. A song that speaks of your goodness and your faithfulness in our life. A song that reflects the same faith, the same trust that we see in Mary. A song that says the same words, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for you have been mindful of the humble state of your servant. That's the song that we sing today. And so may it be in Jesus' name. Everyone said together. Amen. Amen.
This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.